Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
As we follow the news, it certainly becomes more and more difficult to understand. I have no idea why it would be reported in the news that the US military are telling Trump that they will be ready by Saturday. Why have we been brought into the loop on that conversation? That tells me that there's something wrong with it, because that's not a conversation we should be part of. And yet, we are, which means Iran is, which means everybody is, which makes me a little bit skeptical as to whether this, in fact, is a signal for war or is just more and more of these circles of conversation. But while we have these conversations, there are people in Iran, there are families outside of Iran who are suffering. We know we don't have absolute numbers, but we know many tens of thousands of people have been murdered by the regime over a few days when the internet and when all contact was cut off. The immense horror of it is something that we are only slowly understanding. We have a media in South Africa, mainstream media, who has, I believe, been complicit in their silence, along with media in the rest of the world, who have, for some reason that I don't understand, deliberately, I believe, filtered out the story. Through all of this, there are real people, there are real communities who are dealing with this. And we wanted to chat to somebody this morning. Sam Nick is an Iranian peace activist here in South Africa. Very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Tell us your roots. Where did you grow up? What are your links to Iran?
Good morning. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for speaking to us about this. You know, for many, it's just a news item. For you, it is something very, very deeply personal.
Yes, actually, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me today and for giving me this opportunity to be the voice of people who, even in 2026, still don't have access to internet properly. About myself, it's been less than 5 years that I forced migrate to South Africa. I just wanted to leave Iran because of the Sharia law that is forcing to my people, and for my situation, when I left Iran, they would never grant me the custody of my daughter. But it's not just a personal issue. It was plenty issue that has been happening in Iran all these years. And as you said, as you mentioned, I don't know why the world is silent.
So you came to South Africa 5 years ago primarily to escape the Sharia law, which was dominating your daily life.
Exactly. So actually, because I wanted to be really clear, I prepared some numbers to tell you.
Yes,
first of
you.
All, because mostly the audience have no idea about the Iran and the culture of Iran.
Yes, thank you.
We have nearly 2 million skilled migrants around the world, and there's around 7 million Iranians that forced to migrate since the revolution of Iran happened. It's in 47 years. Between these people, there are more than 300,000 to 500,000 of them working in major companies like Google, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, or in some Silicon Valley or NASA. This high level of education comes from a strong culture and society. And our biggest problem began when we refused to accept religious laws being forced on us, because we are educated and we are aware people. You know, all these things start happening with all the religious law. I don't want to keep mentioning Islam and Muslim because we have no problem with Islam or with Muslims.
No, of course not. That's not the issue. It's the forced compliance that is the problem. If somebody,
as their laws are not forced on us, but what happened when these laws were forced on my country? It started with the women and girls who were arrested, were sentenced to lashes, imprisoned, and fined because of compulsory hijab. And the lawmakers of this used oil money to send their own children abroad and give them the best opportunities. You know, from what we see on their social media and what we see in the country, none of them follow the same religious laws which they force on others.
Did this happen immediately following 1979, or has this been over the last 47 years a gradual process towards the situation today?
You know, they started forcing it to us and it affect everything, and it wasn't like these months that people start protesting. When my people protested in recent years, they were suppressed. But the most horrifying event happened on the 18 and 19 of last month, when a mass killing took place and the world chose to remain silent. And I don't understand this silence, because in just 24 hours, nearly 40,000 people were killed in our streets. I don't know how to express it, but imagine like leaving your home in the morning and seeing your streets covered with the blood of your brothers and sisters.
It's inconceivable. It's absolutely inconceivable. And as you say, it's hardly even reported. Was there a way during this time or since then that you have been able to reach out to, I don't know how much family or friends you've still got back in Iran, this must have been a horrific time for you and others in the Iranian community around the world, not knowing the fate of family and friends.
Yes, you know, like, I don't want to say Iran is a modern country because of the government that's trying to push us down, but the people are high educated, and because of our culture, I can call the Iranian or the modern community, you know. And I remember last month when I was calling my sister, because they wanted to go to street to protest. And I called my sister when she was in the first line. And she said, like, Sam, don't worry, we are going to make it better. And then I heard the gunshot. Can you imagine, like, your sister on the phone and you heard a gunshot? And then I lost the connection for 48 hours. And it was a time that we lost around 40,000 people in the streets. And it wasn't like some cities near the border. It's in capital cities and all the cities in Iran. And I just want to mention again that 40,000 people may sound like just a number to you.
That's the problem.
But yes, but each one belonged to a family of at least three people. And if you let me explain our pain this way, if each family spent just one day mourning their loss, I mean just one day, we would need 109 years of daily mourning for every loved one we have lost. And it didn't end. Like, my painful story doesn't end here. It begins with what happened after our children were killed. Their bodies were taken and families were forced to pay money to receive them. We saw families holding the bodies of their children in fear that the government would take them away. It's like lots of footage at night. They brought them home, placed ice on the bodies, and a mother held her 13-year-old child in her arms all night.
It's just absolutely inconceivable, and it makes me so angry to think about the fact that it's just hardly, as we've mentioned a few times, hardly mentioned. Yes. Do you think that any pressure other than the removal of the regime, do you think that any other pressure could change the way the Iranian regime is dealing with the people of Iran? In other words, is any form of negotiation possible?
There is no negotiation way left because, you know, you're talking to the people who understand you. You know, it's just one-way conversation when they holding guns in their hand and shooting at people. Yeah. It's beyond the conversation. It's beyond the negotiation. It's the end of them. And they're struggling to stay.
Right.
And the other countries who are supporting them because they found them. Like Iran regime found other countries, the groups, the terrorist groups, and they don't want the regime change because they are not going to receive any more money.
We hear about people from the regime changing sides, but it's every now and then I read something like that. Is there, within the regime itself, is there strong support, or is there a possibility that some parts of the army or some parts of the regime itself will turn on the government?
Actually, there were like people starting to turn, the people who were in military, for example, or the policemen, they were starting to return and be against the government. But because of no other support from other countries, and because, you know, imagine like you're just one person and you turn against the government. And we have plenty of people in the military that they got executed because of it.
Yeah.
You know? As long as they have a strong weapons, like people with bare hands, they cannot do anything.
Right. So the tweet, the now famous tweet by Donald Trump, "Help is on the way." Well, it might still be, but what is the feeling from people you've spoken to and from the community about help being on the way?
You know, it gave us hope. It gave us power. But then we waited and then see the other countries come and be against like that tweet, the Trump, and say like that, why other countries must involve themselves and it's something like an internal for that Iranian country? And we said like, it's, you cannot call it like a just Iran issue, first of all, because the regime proved that they're trying to have access to a nuclear weapon. And imagine a government who doesn't have any mercy to its own people. What would they do to other countries when they have access to nuclear weapons? And it's our answer to the countries that they're against the tweet of Trump. And imagine that you're at your home and there's some robbers come in and tie your hand and start like physically abuse you, stealing things from your house. And the other neighbors just watching from the windows and said like, no, that robbers, they're inside his house. It's not our things to involve in it. It's just cruelty. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as you have power.
Right.
Exactly like you. You have power to be our voice, and you did this for us today.
Right. Right. What is the your feeling when you see here in South Africa the ANC government, the Minister of Women speaking at as a guest of honor at the commemoration or whatever it would be of the 47th anniversary of the revolution? What is your reaction to that?
You know, I love this country. It was a country that opened its arms to me when I was under great pressure and had left Iran. I want South African leaders open their eyes to the truth and stand on the right side of the history. South Africa is a really, truly beautiful country with kind and warm-hearted people. It's better to be ready for friendship and brotherhood with the future of Iran, not the current Iran.
Absolutely right. We do need to leave it there. Sam Nick, Iranian peace activist, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being vulnerable, for being able to speak out for so many people who very clearly are not able to and who are still suffering under a very brutal regime. That was Sam Nick. She's an Iranian peace activist. Understanding, I just wanted to get an understanding of her background as an Iranian, her current relationship with Iran, and some of her experiences as well as her frustrations.